KPBS On Demand is supported by the National Conflict Resolution Center. Geopolitics, a divisive election year, and strained budgets are all topics that can create tension in the workplace. NCRC can help workplace leaders navigate polarizing issues with the Culture, Communication, and Conflict Certificate. More at ncrconline.com.
Welcome in, San Diego. It's Jade Hindman. On today's show, a fellowship connecting artists with ancestry. This is KPBS Midday Edition, connecting our communities through conversation. What does it mean to connect to one's ancestral identity, homeland, and cultural memory? Four artists are exploring that very question as part of an inaugural arts fellowship. Supported by nonprofit Viet Voices, the fellowship is designed for Asian American and Pacific Islander artists who are early in their career. They'll be presenting their work at a performance art festival this Friday called The Land We Carry. KPBS arts reporter and The Finest podcast host Julia Dixon Evans sat down with Hamsa Faye, the curator, as well as two of the artist fellows, C. Ryu and Haven Luya. Here's that conversation.
I'll start with you, Hamsa, as curator of this project. How did you get involved with Viet Voices, and what does this group's work mean to you?
I got involved with Viet Voices because Viet Voices, they organized a show called Queering the Table, which curator Jun Yiman and also a colleague of mine pulled me in for. At first, I thought I was going to recite poetry from a book I wrote called Blood Frequency, but instead I decided to conceptualize the poem and perform a work called Homework, which illuminates the terror and the grief behind domestic violence, especially in Vietnamese immigrant culture and diasporic culture in general. Fast forward to now, Huy Tran and I of Viet Voices sat down and we said, we really want to create a container where diasporic Asian Americans can really re-narrate their cultural history, their myth, as a way of world building. Mm. We're sharing a truth, and in that truth, and perhaps it archives on the land that we live on, which leads to the show that we have, The Land We Carry.
Can you tell us what that means, The Land We Carry?
Before I tell you The Land We Carry, I feel like I have to talk about ancestry. Mm-hmm. There is land ancestry, meaning the geographical place we were born on. There's blood ancestry, the DNA that runs through us are perhaps blood heritage, our homeland, or our grandparents' heritage. Mm-hmm. I think a great question to figure that out is, where did your grandmothers come from? And then one of our favorites, me and C actually just talked about this, our cosmic ancestry, what goes beyond the physical, our past lives, mm-hmm. the liminal subconscious. And so in this trinity, I think, the land we carry all of these aspects. But do we know what we carry everywhere we go?
See, I want to talk to you next about performance work in general, because it can seem intimidating to audiences, I think. What, first of all, constitutes performance art?
I think performance art is a container for anything that is performative that might not be in the traditional arts. So in the traditional arts, we think of performance as theater, classical music, you know, dance. And those are all wonderful modes of expression. But I think performance is something that is undefinable. And it's rather than translating maybe for a broad audience, that's for everyone, that these traditional mediums really do teach you. Performance art can be anything. It can be something that you are thinking about in your ancestry. It can be the dance that you dance alone in your room while you're raging. It can be the soft whispers to a lover that you thought would be hidden, but you're deciding to speak to an audience. And I think that's sort of the beauty about performance, is that it is undefinable. It is about me being in tandem with my body and listening to my body and then trying to portray it to an audience. So it's magical.
There's something really physical and immediate about it also. Like, is there some element of performance art that involves being there?
Oh, 100%. I think that's the beauty of performance, is the act of witnessing, right? The witnessing of a body and what the performer is allowing you to witness in that moment. It can be so intensely personal, so intensely physical, sometimes really uncomfortable. But I think that, again, is the power of performance art, is to sit sometimes in uncomfortability, in how we come into the world that is so structured and performative, even if we don't see it, right? The way that you interact with your boss, maybe when you're upset, or maybe it's the way you talk to your parents or your children, right? We are performing every moment in our lives. And maybe performance art is an avenue to be able to see yourself without those performances.
Haven, what about you? How do you approach not just performance, but also healing and ritual in your art?
I think that in performance and in ritual, there's an invitation for intentionality to be there. And for, I've really been sitting with the phrase, like, mutual worshiping, to be there, worshiping of what is present, what is being pulled from, what stories maybe are intentionally being pulled from. And then two, like, what is the play between the performer, myself, and the audience who is witnessing, and that being like a really rich opportunity and playground that you can't prepare for necessarily as well. So it's a little bit of the unpredictability mixing with the intentionality that really excites me, and that I really want to intentionally build containers for.
And those containers, like, around your art, how does that manifest? What does it look like?
Yeah. The container for me is through both physically building installation objects. So in my kind of day-to-day practice, I'm a tattoo artist. I don't necessarily, maybe at this moment, I'm not necessarily tattooing in my performance space, but using wood burning instead and inscribing them with stories and symbols from my mixed lineages, my Filipinx lineages, my Celtic lineages, Tagalog ancestry, and allowing those symbols to intentionally create kind of that container, as well as poetry, as well as dancing, all of the things that I'm doing leading up to even the conversations that I'm having with friends or with loved ones or with plant ancestors in my tea every morning. All of those are aspects that are building towards the container on that performance day.
And see, what about you? Your performances, from what I've seen, combine music, mechanized instruments, projections, objects, creative movement. Can you talk about how you approach containing your performance work?
Yeah, I think one of the sort of maybe words that has been said in this interview that really pertains to my artistic practice is world building, that Hamza said earlier. And I think for me, I'm very much a person who has always imagined other worlds. From as far back to childhood as I can remember, I've always been in love with novels and mythologies and different types of ways of living. And I think as I have grown up to be an adult in society, and specifically the United States society, I've sort of seen that there is a very mainstream type of world building, especially for certain types of bodies. For mine, it's Korean American, Asian American. And I think I was seeing those worlds and realizing that something was missing for me. My experiences are not tidy. They're not clean. And I think part of the reason why I use so many different types of mediums in my performances, whether it's video, narration, mythology, speculative fiction, these are all ways for me to create new worlds that feel a little bit more alive and electric to me and my ancestry and people who look like me. I don't want to be contained in sort of Asian American media or Asian media. I don't want to be contained as a model minority. I want to live fantastic lives and have futures that are outside of maybe mainstream society. And for that reason, I think that's why I use a lot of different tools so that people who are witnessing me realize that this is, yes, this is my body, but also like, how can I show them my interior world? And sometimes that is through a lot of fantasy.
I love that. Hamza, can you talk about the way that you're bringing these works together, in addition to the other works in this project, the other fellows?
I feel the word that comes up is ceremony. Mm-hmm. I find it that within contemporary art, there is this social notion that we walk in, we observe, we consume, we walk back away. But this specific festival, my intention is to invite audiences to re-narrate that experience, to instead be stewards, to hold space for these ceremonies that are happening in one space. What does it mean to be in prayer? Because performance art, we need the audience. We need them to be participating in some way to help us transmute or move through a process. And all the fellows are exhibiting works that are live and non-live performances. Yes, that includes some sort of body-based medium. But every work is a spell. We're casting something out into the world, and perhaps it's resistance, perhaps it's some sort of protest. But in my research, especially around performance and AAPI culture, there is this need to reclaim these ethno-traditional practices like dance and tattooing and carving and singing and implementing it in a way that really talks to our personal history. So to answer your question, ceremony. We are in ceremony, baby.
What is the audience experience then, being part of this?
We're working with a very specific space to build some sort of dialogue around spirituality. And so we are working at El Salon, which is a repurposed church redesigned by Teddy Cruz from UCSD. I think about transformation when I hear about this, and with works that express Catholicism, indoctrination of religion in the body, or how past lives can live in the body, or how our ancestral folk traditions can be expressed in performance as an act of devotion. This really reframes how the audience can participate. Yes, you can watch and witness, but what does it mean to care? To care for someone's experience on the performance stage? And I think for me, as someone who is an audience member, I'm yearning for that visceral tug on my heart to pull me back to empathy, that when I go home, I'm drooling with so much hope because someone just shared so much vulnerability. So the question I ask audience members in their participation is, what is your intention of being here? Is it the food? Because the food's amazing. And the performance is so electric. But what is your alchemical ingredient that you're adding to the pot today, to the soup?
I want to zoom out a little bit and talk about some of what the realities might be for AAPI artists and creative communities in San Diego right now. Maybe I'll start, Haven, with you.
Sure. Yeah. I grew up in Kumeyaay Land in San Diego, in between Scripps Ranch, Mira Mesa, National City, Chula Vista, where my Lola was. And truly growing up, it being such a heavy biotech influenced space, I never personally was drawn to arts because I didn't think that that was of value here. And that was the messaging that I got from external factors, from also factors within my lineages, having my Lola was actually in biomedicine as well. And, you know, carrying forward these legacies, I walked forward with those things and never really got to be in touch with that aspect of myself or San Diego community. And upon my return, I went to school at UC Davis, and in return, I have my bachelor's in biomedical engineering. And I returned, and in that process, I found my transness. I came back actually during the beginning of the pandemic, and found my transness. And in that transition, that movement from one state of myself into another, I found that art is what I needed in order to connect to community. To trans community, and also my Filipino-ness as I, as a white-bodied person who, for a lot of my life, was not in touch with and could bypass, in a way, in safety and in assimilation, my Filipino-ness. As I came into my transness, I also started remembering these forgotten stories of my Filipino-ness, too. And I started to be able to connect at this intersection of a lot of trans and Filipinx or trans and Asian artists. And a lot of them are underground, you could say. A lot of pop-up spaces, just come to our living room and see what we're creating. And food is always there. Laughter is there, maybe karaoke. And that is kind of the reality of, you know, that intersection of DIY spaces, maybe also mutual aid spaces, is what I'm most familiar with. And I haven't too much really seen a lot of these bigger intentional spaces for folks until I actually saw the Viet Voices first show. When I saw Hamsa perform, and I was like, this is something right here. And I felt that visceral reaction in my body and my heart space. And so I think the shift is happening, and I think we're witnessing the folks in the room that are participating in that.
See, what about you? Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I am definitely a visitor on this land. I don't live in San Diego. I live in LA. But I've been a visitor on almost every land that I've existed. I was born and raised in the United States, and I've lived in probably more states than less states. anywhere from Georgia to Pennsylvania to Arizona to Delaware, California. This was all before I was 18, really. And I think having to always realize that I was a visitor on any land. In the same way, when I go back to Korea, where my ancestry is from, I'm not technically, yeah, both my parents are Korean, but this is not a land that I grew up in. I never was situated there. I can speak the language. I know enough about the culture to get by. But there are certain things that you will never understand, like the land frequency or how the sea speaks to you, because I've never lived there for a long time. And so I think with the title, The Land We Carry, of the show, I'm thinking about how most of us are visitors on land. And how it's also our duty as visitors to care for the land and listen to it. And there's not a lot of listening going on right now, unfortunately. And I think these spaces that AAPI artists, BIPOC artists, Indigenous artists are all creating with ceremony, with performance art, and creating spaces for our voices. It's so important right now because, especially in, I think, the AAPI diaspora, we're taught, like Haven said, to kind of go on a certain path that will be the quote-unquote American dream or quote-unquote good for you at the end of the day. And I think a lot of us are realizing that that narrative has been fabricated. And right now we're in a place where I think it's really important for us to be strange and weird and push back and to listen to ourselves and the land even more rather than maybe doom scroll or maybe be performative in our identity because that is what society wants from us. And so I am really grateful to be a part of this cohort and under the direction of Hamza, who has really sort of guided us into allowing us to be ourselves so clearly without censorship. Mm-hmm. And that has just been something so wonderful for my body and I think for a lot of our communities to witness.
What is the message that you want to share with San Diego through this art? I'll start with you, Hamza.
The message that I wish to offer to San Diego, the land we carry, is more so a question. I don't have any answers. The question is really in the title. What do you carry? What lands do you come from? And how have you integrated your geographical heart onto this one? Are you connected to it? Are you dissociated on this land? Something that I find really helpful. This is kind of cute. It's an acronym. We love these. It's called HALT. When I'm hungry, when I'm angry, when I'm lonely, and when I'm tired. All pathways to dissociate. But for me, I'm like, I want to rage. I'm going to go howl. I'm tired. I'm going to sleep under a tree. I have created habits to return to the land for guidance. And I wonder if these performances will inspire those to return.
That was curator Hamza Fay and artist fellows C. Ryu and Haven Luya speaking with KPBS arts reporter and the finest host, Julia Dixon Evans. Their showcase, The Land We Carry, will take place at the El Salon Theater in San Ysidro this Friday, July 26th. Performances start at 5 p.m., and you can find more details on kpbs.org. That's our show for today. I'm your host, Jade Hindman. Thanks for tuning in to Midday Edition. Be sure to have a great day on purpose, everyone.
These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.